tell me something. I'd like to know what you think. Tell me, have you ever gone through one, just one now, complete day without lying to yourself? Have you ever gone through one complete day without lying to yourself? Or, for that matter, to someone else? Or, worse still, to God? You see, when you lie to someone else or lie to yourself, you are actually lying to God as well. Lying is iniquity, because eventually it reaches the ears of God. Well, have you? Have you? I guess probably the most likely response would be, probably, I don't know for sure, I guess so. But why would I lie to myself? Well, maybe to give yourself comfort. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, there's nothing wrong with my heart, I know that. No, 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 that comes and goes. Oh, my bowels are bad. Oh, well, you know, nothing wrong, that's okay. Oh, so I cut my finger. Oh, don't worry about it. Is it broken? No, I don't think so. You're only trying to lie to yourself. You don't know. You know, I believe that's the most truthful, or pardon me, that the most truthful response you could give is really, I don't know. I don't know. And that's because you don't know. You just don't know. You know, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. That includes women too, by the way. And that's the title I've given my message today. Let God be true and every man a liar. Okay, let's have a short prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity you've given me to deliver this message. I pray, Lord, you'd give me utterance. And Lord God, that the people who hear it will understand what is being said, Lord, and apply it to their lives according to your perfect will, Lord God. And Lord, may the things that are said here today, Lord, be appreciated by you. And may Jesus Christ be lifted up. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, you're not about to like what I have to say here. But it's coming anyway. Most of us lie. We lie actually more than we tell the truth. Now, you're probably saying, well, listen, don't call me a liar. You don't know that. I said most of us. I didn't say you. I didn't point a finger at you or you or you. I said most of us. Fact is, we do it without even realizing it sometimes. Tell me this. What is the difference between a little white lie and a big black lie? No, it's nothing to do with race. Get that out of your head. Anyway, time's up. Time's up. The answer is, there ain't no difference between a little white lie and a big black lie. There ain't. You see, in the eyes of God, sin is sin. Okay? Sin is sin. And a lie is a lie, no matter what color you paint it. Oh, the scriptures tell us that liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Oh, that's not nice, is it? No, that's not nice news. I remember as a child, I used to get angry with my friends. You know all about that, eh? We've all gone through it. Get angry with my friends, even my family, for lying to me. Not big, juicy lies, but little, little, timid lies. silly little things. But you know, in some cases, in fact, most of all, it was good for my own good. Now, just exactly what is a lie for your own good? You want to know, don't you? Of course you do. Your mother heard on the radio that there's a tornado headed your way. So, you must stay close to home. All right, don't go wandering away. But the tornado, well, it passed on by. And as far as you're concerned, your mother lied to you. Did she? Your mother lied to you? You know, when I was a kid, the only people I believed were those who gave me money. Here's a quarter. You didn't see me drinking this bottle of beer, did you? Oh, no, no, not me. I didn't see nothing. We'd do just about anything when we were kids to get a dime, a quarter. I mean, this is back in the 40s. When you're finished hearing this message, tell me if you think I'm lying. I want to know. I want to preach briefly now on several forms or types of religion and compare them all to the one true religion, the Word of God. You might say, well, isn't it all the Word of God? Well, I will say, no, it isn't. Can God lie? Can God deny himself? Now, I remember a Catholic priest, rather, many years ago, when I was a kid, saying to my Sunday school class that religion is like a bag of laundry on its way to the laundromat. Although every item in the bag is unclean, once you arrive at the laundry, you still have to separate the items. Not like I used to do, just empty the bag into the washer and go sit down and read a comic book. Nope. Anyway, you have to separate the items in the bag. They can all be washed together, and the result may not be too good, with blacks mixing with reds, whites with the yellows, and so forth and so on. So they can't really, if mama's going to be happy, they can't really be washed together. They have to be separated. You can't mix, for example, you can't mix oily or greasy garments with white linens or grimy children's play clothes with mama's delicate fabrics. The reason is quite simple. While the detergent you use on babies and ladies' garments will clean quite well, if it's too contrary to what the manufacturer suggests, then hard-working members of the family may require a stronger brand. You've all heard the phrase, haven't you? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Right? Well, I'm here to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. The person who coined that phrase was trying to categorize sin. And while there are degrees of sin, with some sins being greater than others, in God's eyes, well, like I said, sin is still sin. And a stench in the nose of God. A stench. You know what a stench is, don't you? Something that smells really bad. Now, right away, you're saying that all sin is not the same. And I'm going to agree with you. A child kicking his dog, for example, certainly cannot be compared to a man beating up his wife. Nevertheless, sin is still sin. Gotcha? Right. And if it's not under the blood of Jesus Christ, it will send you where? Eventually, straight to hell. Straight to hell. Now that we've opened that can of worms, let us proceed a little bit further. Somebody once asked, what about the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Doesn't God tell us that such a sin cannot be forgiven? And would this not imply, because it can't be forgiven, loss of salvation? Huh? What about that one? First of all, let me tell you this. If you were already a Christian, saved, on your way to glory, then you would not blaspheme He who indwells you, namely the Holy Spirit. You would not do it. Not if you're truly saved. Okay? Now, the Word of God tells us in the King James Authorized Version Bible, there is none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? Remember the laundry and how its cleansing is governed by the type of detergent you use in your wash? Well, so it is with God. You can wash the grime off your skin with a bar of soap, and it will keep on returning another day. But when you have your soul cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, it is forever, and I cannot say that word enough, forever under His blood, and can never, never return to the mire from which it came. Because we are all sinners, well, God provided a way for us to overcome that sin. Right? Yes. It's called redemption. Redemption. And you can't buy it at the pharmacy or at Walmart. Redemption is freely given of God through the finished work of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary. Now, the Word of God tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5:17. Now, I'd like you to pay close attention to what James 4:17 says. James 4:17. Listen carefully. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me read that again. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The working word here is knoweth. Knoweth. How often have you heard someone ask, what about little children who can't understand if the world were to suddenly end before they reach the age of accountability? And I repeat to them that knoweth. The key phrase is to them that knoweth. A little baby doesn't know. Or someone born with a mental handicap doesn't know. To them that knoweth what sin is. And how do we know? By reading the Word of God. When King David lost his baby, what did he say to God? He said, I know he cannot come to me, but I can go to him. He knew his baby was in heaven because his baby didn't know what sin was. The problem is actually twofold. Not understand what sin is, and not be sure what to do about it. Well, the reason the problem exists is because many people have different belief systems. You know, like gray sky in the morning, sailor take warning, red sky at night, sailor's delight, all that stuff, you know. God gives us signs, yes. Some of us understand and recognize them, and some of us don't. The most popular are the words of God, as given in the 1611 authorized King James Bible. That's where you find them, which clearly states in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, "For the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Forever. Not for a day or a month or a year. Forever. In today's world, that which the Bible calls sin is considered petty, petty, and too restricted. Things like blasphemy and name-calling are no longer listed in many Bibles. As it was in the days of Noah, does it not still apply today in modern times? Of course it does. I mean, a lie is still a lie. A murder is still murder. Stealing is still stealing. And blasphemy is still blasphemy. What was sin thousands of years ago, is it not still sin in today's world? Huh? Look around. See for yourself what the Word of God calls an abomination. Let us look briefly at what some others say about sin, like Christian Science. Christian Science says that evil is unreal. The opposite of truth is called error. Error. So if you tell a lie, you commit an error, not a sin. Well, excuse me, lady. When you shot your husband, that wasn't evil. It was unreal. You call that an error? Ah, in spiritualism, they say whatever is, is right. Man never had a fall. Spiritualism. A lie is the truth intrinsically. It holds a lawful place in creation. Evil is good no matter what man's path may be. You can't call evil good. You can't call a lie the truth. Mormons, on the other hand, believe that the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are three different gods that are separate in personality. Does the Bible not say that all three are one? Is not religion really anything that you trust and believe in? Anything? Isn't it? Christian Science is of the belief that one sacrifice, like Christ on the cross, is not sufficient to pay the sin debt. That's Christian Science. Not sufficient. And that Jesus is the human, and that Christ is the divine idea. I don't know what they're getting at there. Christian Science, Spiritualism, Jehovah Witnesses, Armstrongism, Mormonism, Eastern Mysticism. Look, the list goes on and on and on. Examine them if you will. And maybe you should. They don't hold a candle to the Word of God as laid out in the Scriptures, as laid out in Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words? No, for the words of the Lord are. I cannot exemplify this enough. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Wow! Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. In other words, they'll always be. Thou shalt preserve them. He will keep and preserve them forever. From this generation, he says, forever. That's good news to me. Is that good news to you? It's up to you, people. It's up to you. Will you let God be true and every man a liar? Huh? Will you? What is it you have to say? An amen to that? You know, each week when I do a message, I do quite a bit of research, and I try to get my facts the way God would have them. And sometimes I don't use a lot of Scripture, and sometimes I do. But when I'm preparing the word that God would have me use, I have the need in the back of my mind and in my heart to try and make sure that the people who hear it are going to understand what you're saying. And, you know, sometimes you may go to a church that you've never been to before, and the preacher, whoever's speaking, might get up there and talk about themselves and give their life story. Okay, that's okay, but that's not preaching either. You know, or they might get up and they might tell you a big, long, you know, monologue about something that happened in their life or in somebody else's lives, and then end it by throwing in their own lives and saying, excuse me, you know, but, you know, I always believe, and I always will believe, that if you're going to present a message, make sure the people that are out there that you're preaching to are going to understand. And that's where the prayer before you give the message really comes in. You ask them to open their heart. You ask them to receive the Word of God. I mean, there'll be a few, yes, here scattered about, here to there, but who may not fully understand. But if they don't, then those who do, those who are faithful to the Lord, it's up to them, up to us, to go to these people and help them to understand and to pray with them. You see, don't just say, here's what this means, and walk away. No, tell them what they need to know and then pray with them. And when you're not with them, pray for them. That's what it's all about. Make sense? Makes sense to me? You know, I enjoy being on this radio station every week at 9 o'clock, Just Jesus, the radio network. Oh, yes. And I love not only hearing sermons that I have done, but sermons that others have done. You see, no matter how much you think you know about the Word of God, there's always more and more and more to learn, and there always will be. And even when we get to glory, we'll still be learning. We'll still be learning about the great God that we serve here on the earth. Do you like that? I do. Be careful, would you please? The church that you go and worship in today, be careful. I named a bunch of them there in the message. I would avoid them if I were you. Go to a good Bible-believing church, a church that uses only the King James Authorized 1611 Bible. And I assure you, by the authority of God, by Psalm 12, 6 and 7, that you will be told the word of God as it should be told. Then you can examine yourself. And others will say to you, "My, you sure have learned a lot in a short time. Isn't God wonderful?" Oh, yes, He is. Look for more sermons from the Word of God. Please, I invite you to take time to visit my website, Battle Site for Christ. And be sure to tune in to, of course, the Just Jesus Radio Network. As God reaches out to an entire world. Oh, how wonderful He is. I pray that if you have any doubts or uncertainties in your mind right now, that you will clear them up. And remember, through prayer, there's a lot of truth in it. You've heard it said before. More things are done through prayer than this world can ever imagine. So let God be true and every man a liar. I'm not saying you go out and say, call people liars. No, but let the Word of God have the preeminence in your life. And if you're not sure of something, open the Word of God and you'll find the answer. It's there to every item in your life. And if you don't understand it, pray. The Holy Spirit will give you utterance, will give you, open your mind and help you to understand. And that's why we have brothers and sisters in the faith. Oh, how important they are. We can call them on the phone. We can go visit them. And I always find out that if I'm not sure about what something means, and I go and talk to a brother in the Lord, or a preacher, a pastor, whatever, I always get the answer. Because we don't know it all. No man is an island. No, they're not. But God is. Give yourself over to God today. Make sure that if this is the last day you've set foot upon this earth, that the very moment you pass from here, you will be in the presence of God. God bless you. Thank you for listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.